Effley is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
China has sold Americans a dazzling array of counterfeits and forgeries, including copyrighted books, music, and expensive fashion apparel. But much more dangerous is the tainted food that China sells us. The China Bee Products Association claims that half of all honey sold in China is fake. Chinese baby milk killed Chinese babies after melamine was added to conceal the milk's low protein count. China tops the list of countries with tainted products. There are some U.S. inspections in China, but they surely are not what we are used to in the United States. Even our pets are in danger. Mysterious canine illnesses and deaths have been linked to jerky treats from China, and two manufacturers pulled leading brands off their shelves. Federal officials said the current outbreak sickened 3,000 dogs and 10 cats and killed about 600 canines. China's latest venture into deception is collecting empty bottles of genuine alcohol, refilling them with a cheap substitute, such as antifreeze, from who knows where, and then reselling this counterfeit alcohol to popular bars and restaurants in Beijing. The police discovered 37,000 bottles of this fake alcohol ready to be delivered. An expert on Chinese health at the Council on Foreign Relations, Yang Zhang Huang, explained that the big difference between Chinese and U.S. medicine safety is this. U.S. vaccines are kept safe by supporting institutions such as the market economy, democracy, media monitoring, civil society, and the business ethics code, plus inspections and regulations, severe punishment for violators, and lawsuits by trial lawyers. Communist China does not tolerate any of these safety precautions.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Chances are you or someone you care about is unemployed or underemployed. At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we're weighing the causes and solutions of this national crisis. One thing is certain, more government spending is not the answer. Join the blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
Get the hardest-hitting rebel newspaper of them all, by mail, anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
What Really Happened radio show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Dan the Man is in our control room. And joining us on the phone is James Fetzer. James, aloha. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, Mike. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, Sherwood Ross referred me to you regarding a book written by Jim Norvell, who is sadly no longer with us, which contains some rather interesting information about Lee Harvey Oswald and a foiled earlier attempt to assassinate John F. Kennedy in Chicago. Could you sort of fill us in on that?
Yeah, well, Abraham Bolden, who was the first black Secret Service agent, has published a book called The Echo from Dealey Plaza, in which he describes how the attempt to take out JFK in Chicago was thwarted on the basis of information provided by an informant by the name of Lee. We know that he was working then as an informant for the FBI, that he had informant number 179, was being paid $200 a month right up to the time of the assassination, which was independently established by Wagoner Carr, the Attorney General of Texas at the time, who launched his own investigation. It's the sort of thing that was so troubling to Lyndon and others that they formed the Warren Commission to preempt independent investigations, but Lee appears to have been the person who provided the information about the Chicago attempt.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is in Oliver Stone's movie JFK, there is mention of Lee Harvey Oswald meeting with an FBI agent and providing some information, but then the FBI agent being ordered to destroy the notes from the meeting. So it does look like Lee Oswald probably was an FBI informant. He was working to prevent the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and maybe the assassins figured out he was the snitch. That's why they set him up to be the patsy in Dallas.
Well, I think they'd spent a lot of time setting him up. The CIA was running a false defection program. There were members of various services who defected to the Soviet Union and who, you know, came back to be troubled persona located in various places around the U.S. where they could be invoked as patsies. So I think that the whole business with Lee reflects a history with U.S. intelligence. He appears to have been recruited by the Office of Naval Intelligence, where he was still a recruit in San Diego, where I supervised recruit training myself and marksmanship on the same rifle range, Edson Range, Camp Pendleton, where he took his training. Then he was stationed at the most secure base in the American military arsenal at Atsugi, Japan, the source of U-2 overflights. His pseudo-defection to the Soviet Union appears to have been to provide Russians with information about the altitude of the U-2 overflights because they knew they were taking place but couldn't do anything about it, not knowing the altitude. And then, of course, you know, not long before a summit between Eisenhower and Khrushchev was to take place, Khrushchev accused the United States of spying on the Soviet Union. Eisenhower denied it, but Khrushchev was able to produce the pilot and parts of the plane, which was most embarrassing for Eisenhower, led to the aborting of the summit and increased Cold War tensions instead of reducing them. When Oswald returned to the United States, he was not treated as a traitor. He wasn't subjected to interrogation. Instead, he was met by a CIA front organization, provided him money to relocate where Marina wound up in Dallas and he wound up in New Orleans. where he was being sheeped after, given a false persona again as a pro-Castro communist sympathizer handing out pamphlets for the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, but actually associating with, you know, right-wingers and former FBI agent Guy Bannister, as Oliver Stone very well portrays in his film JFK.
It is rather interesting. You know, I look back on that, and I was, I think I was 8 years old when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and it's one of those events where you remember the day it happened. And I bought the official cover story, the Warren Report, and the rest of it, and it wasn't until Jim Garrison brought out his trial against Clay Shaw, who was later on admitted to have been a CIA contract agent, that I dug out all those magazines I'd saved from the assassination, and for the first time I took a real good look at them, and I saw that James Altgen photo of the moment Kennedy's grabbing his throat, and you can see Oswald standing in the doorway wearing exactly the same clothes that he was wearing when he was arrested later in the day. There's other frauds in those magazines. They staged the shot that supposedly sold the magic bullet theory, and it's not even taken from the Texas School Book Depository. You can see that building on the right-hand side of the field. They shot this thing from the second floor of the Daltex building. And looking back on it, I think it took something like 30 years for half of Americans to finally understand the Warren Report was a complete fiction. And, of course, today in the age of the Internet and the independent media, you can clock the average life expectancy of a government deception with an egg timer, and I think that's a very healthy sign.
Well, you're right on spot, Mike. I mean, I compliment you. Yes, indeed, that is Lee Oswald in the doorway. It's been much disputed. It's the biggest secret about the assassination, because obviously if he was in the doorway at the time of the shooting, he cannot not only have been the lone demented gunman, he can't have even been one of the shooters. You're also right on that three shots, actually, which I believe were the only unsilent shots, were fired with a Mannlicher Carcano from the Daltex building. All the other shots were silenced to create the acoustical impression of three shots having come from the book depository, but you're right on. They were actually fired from the Daltex.
Well, it appears there were three shoot teams. There was one in the book depository, but not necessarily on the sixth floor, one in the Daltex, and, of course, the one up at the Grassy Knoll. And if I recall correctly, when the House Select Committee on Assassinations was looking at the acoustic evidence from the police dictabell, they detected seven specific impulses, some of which did triangulate to that Grassy Knoll area. So even the House of Representatives had to acknowledge there were at least two shooters in Dealey Plaza. And at that point, yes, it is a conspiracy. We've got two people conspiring to kill the president. One of the odd things that I mention to my audience all the time is when they put together the Warren Commission, one of the members was John J. McCloy, president of the Chase Manhattan Bank and president of the World Bank. And looking back at all the crimes and corruptions of our banking and finance system, you have to wonder, why was this professional high-level banker on a committee that was supposed to be investigating a homicide? And it gets back to Kennedy's signing of Executive Order 11110 and issuing a new government value-based currency, $4.5 billion worth, that Americans could use without having to sacrifice interest to that privately owned Federal Reserve. So there were a lot of people who wanted Kennedy dead. The Israelis were angry with him because he was trying to prevent them from getting nuclear weapons. Organized crime felt he had double-crossed them because they'd helped him steal the election from Richard Nixon. And then, of course, he turned around and sicked Robert Kennedy on them. You had the CIA was angry over the Bay of Pigs fiasco. There were a lot of overlapping motives for the assassination to take place.
You're right about all that. John J. McCloy was actually at the ratification meeting at the home of Clint Murchison the night before the assassination. Madeline Duncan Brown, the mistress of Lyndon, who began an affair with him in 48, bore him a son, Stephen, in 1950. And James Norvell speaks extensively about her and about the meeting I'm about to describe. Attended, there were only a couple dozen people, but a lot of heavy hitters. J. Edgar Hoover was there. She thought perhaps it had been in his honor. Richard Nixon was there. She remembered he was driven out by a local Republican leader who worked in the same bank building where she was a young advertising executive. John J. McCloy, as you observe, was there, former High Commissioner to Germany. He appears to have been representing the Eastern Establishment, you know, in support of the Fed, which JFK was effectively circumventing and probably going to abolish. George Brown and Root Heavy Construction was there when the Vietnam War went down. Brown and Root got $1 billion to dredge a new port at Cam Ranh Bay, which, you know, Vietnam has many magnificent natural ports. I'm quite sure it wasn't necessary. Late in the evening, Lyndon showed up, and the heavy hitters disappeared into a boardroom for 15 or 20 minutes. When it was over, he strode over toward her. She thought he was going to whisper sweet nothings in her ear. Instead, he told her in a hateful tone of voice he wasn't going to have to put up with embarrassment from those Kennedy boys after tomorrow. That wasn't a threat. That was a promise. And you know, it's also true, Mike, that one of the virtues of Jim's book is he actually identifies six different locations from which shots were fired.
Okay, we got to take a break. James, we got to take a break. I'm sorry to cut you off. We'll be back after this three-minute commercial break.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
Woo. Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Watch out for the police. They're lurking in every corner. They'll beat you down for your stash. With handcuffs and guns, I bet they're having fun when they take away your cash. They're on the rise, this oversized gang of pirates on the seas. And don't you get booked by a captain.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with James Fetzer about the John F. Kennedy assassination, and I want to share a quick anecdote with you. I went back and got out my rusty pocket calculator. I was 11 when John F. Kennedy was killed. When I was 8 years old, I was spending a lot of time at my grandparents' home in New Hampshire, and my grandfather was a major figure in Republican politics in New Hampshire. We lived right across the street from Senator Stiles Bridges, who was getting ready to be the sort of throwaway candidate against Kennedy when he ran for his second term. You know, they don't want to risk anybody really important. So Nixon was traveling to New Hampshire to work with Senator Stiles Bridges about how to put together a credible campaign going into the primaries. And then he would come across the street to visit with my grandfather. And every time he would do that, my mother and grandmother would go out to play bingo because they knew what was going to happen. My grandfather and Nixon would get into the wild turkey and they'd spend the night just complaining and screaming about them damn Kennedy boys. So there was a lot of emotionality there going on. But you're absolutely right. I think at this point, any Americans objectively looking at what happened back then realize that, yeah, we got lied to. And when we look at more recent lies like 9/11 or the unemployment numbers, or they've just finally admitted that in point of fact the GDP didn't grow in the first quarter of 2014, I think it's time for Americans to realize the government's been lying to you all along about everything. It's just business as usual. And you know, what do we do when we find out the government that takes our money and takes the lives of our children has been lying to us all along? Do we go on allowing our money and our children's lives to be sacrificed to that? Anyway, you were going to tell us more about this little confab that took place the night before the actual assassination. And I remember another story where Nixon was claiming he was nowhere near Dallas at the time, and then somebody got a picture of him. Apparently he was doing something for a soft drink company at a trade show.
Right. His cover was he was there for a Pepsi-Cola convention. He was even quoted in the Dallas Morning News the day of the shooting, saying he did not think that JFK would run again with LBJ. In fact, Jack had already informed Evelyn Lincoln, his personal secretary, that he wasn't going to run with Lyndon again. He'd already been thinking about Terry Sanford in North Carolina as his running mate. So, you know, Nixon and George H.W. Bush are the only two individuals I ever encountered who claim they can't remember where they were when they learned that JFK had been shot.
That's an odd one. I have another little piece of trivia for you. Lyndon Johnson found out that Kennedy was going to dump him in the second term because one of his office staffers had a roommate who was very tight with the Kennedys. And the Kennedys had mentioned to this woman that Kennedy was going to dump Lyndon. She told her roommate. The roommate told Lyndon Johnson. The Kennedy girl roommate was Mary Jo Kopechne.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Actually, Lyndon forced himself on the ticket in Los Angeles after JFK had already extended the invitation to be his running mate to Stuart Symington of Missouri and gave him the night to think it over. Bobby went by the Johnson suite and made a pro forma offer, was astonished when Lyndon jumped on it. Using information provided by J. Edgar Hoover, he threatened to expose that Jack had had dalliances with at least one beautiful woman who turned out to be an East German spy, that he was suffering from Addison's disease, and therefore was not expected to live a long, healthy life. Plus, he added that if he were not on the ticket, then as majority leader on the Senate, any legislative proposal set down by the White House would be dead on arrival. Bobby and Jack wrestled with it, but they couldn't figure any way out, and he had to rescind his invitation to Stuart Symington, the only time in his political history anything like that had ever occurred. But Lyndon and his allies were already planning that Lyndon would accede to the highest office by taking JFK out.
Yeah, that's if politics is a dirty business, and the higher you go, the dirtier it gets.
You're absolutely right, and, you know, it's fascinating because James Norvell was the attorney for Billy Saul Estes, a Texas Wheeler dealer who committed a lot of scams, made a lot of money for Lyndon, John Connolly, and their cronies, and where Billy Saul told William Raymond, a French investigative journalist, how Lyndon had sent Cliff Carter, his chief administrative assistant, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination, he knew because he knew Cliff Carter and Malcolm Mack Wallace personally, where Mack was Lyndon's personal hitman. He killed about a dozen people for Lyndon, including one of his own sisters, and appears to have been involved as a shooter, even an organizer of the assassination, though the primary role for that appears to have fallen to Edward Lansdale, who was an Air Force general who organized assassinations all over the world, especially in Vietnam.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because there's a link from that to the Watergate scandal. And a lot of people were asking, why was Nixon even bothering going into the Democratic headquarters at the Watergate when his reelection was a study in foregone conclusions? But it turns out the Democrats had gotten hold of some very clear photos of those three mystery tramps in that were arrested and then let go in Dealey Plaza, identifying two of them as Frank Sturgis. And, I'm blanking on the other name. The guy who eventually led the burglary at the Watergate.
Well, you're thinking E. Howard Hunt, but actually, Mike, that's a misidentification. The celebrated forensic artists for the Houston Police Department identified them respectively as Charles Rogers. He's the shortest, well-dressed. Charles Harrelson, the father of the actor Woody Harrelson, and the third, whose identity has been most disputed, Chauncey Marvin Holt, whom I got to know personally. Chauncey had a long history with organized crime in the CIA. He was a contract agent for the agency working at the Los Angeles Stamp and Stationery Store. When his handler, Philip Twombly, directed him to prepare 15 sets of forged Secret Service credentials for use in and around Dealey Plaza, he was worried about getting the color-coded pins, which changed from day to day, but he got them in time. He was directed to leave them in a red pickup truck behind the grassy knoll. That's a parking area used by the Dallas police. When he first got there, it wasn't present. So he wandered around Dealey Plaza. He told me he saw more bad guys, assassins, and mercenaries than you'd find at a Soldiers of Fortune convention. When he returned, he found the pickup truck was there. He left it there, and with the other two went down to a boxcar. About this time was when the shooting was taking place. They were told it would appear to be locked, but it would be unlocked. When they climbed in, they found it was loaded with ammunition, explosives, and weapons. They started to pull out, but the railroad manager thought something was a kid out of kilter and pulled him back, and the police arrested him, marched him through Dealey Plaza. I'm convinced if Lee Oswald hadn't worked out as the patsy that they were going to be the fallback, the three of them, and with all those weapons and explosives in the railway car, it would have been very easy to make the case. Well, what's interesting about E. Howard Hunt is that he was there in Dealey Plaza, and he gave his son, St. John, a recollection, you know, a kind of final confession published in Rolling Stone about the chain of command that went from Lyndon Johnson to Cord Meyer to David Attlee Phillips to William Harvey to David Sanchez Morales. And what James Norvell has done is to reconstruct the assassination not only of JFK but of MLK and of RFK as well, and it's got the same principal players where Lyndon and J. Edgar were both involved. I think Lyndon's antipathy was so great that he was the primary player in taking out Bobby, but Edgar didn't like him either. And in the case of Martin Luther King, J. Edgar simply despised him. He would make sex tapes of Martin having intercourse with women other than his wife and send him to Coretta as a form of harassment. In fact, he was staying at a hotel that was rather secure in downtown Memphis when they receive phone calls saying, what kind of hypocrisy is this? You're not staying in a black motel. This moved them to the Lorraine, which was much less safe. And from
we have to take a break. I'm sorry I have to keep cutting you off. We got to do some commercials. Stay on the line, though. I want to take you into the next segment.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with James Fetzer about the John F. Kennedy assassination, the Robert Kennedy assassination, and Martin Luther King. What's interesting to note, you're talking about how King was pressured to move to the Lorraine Motel. Dr. King didn't like upper floor rooms. He preferred being on the ground level. And one of the mysteries about that whole assassination is somebody changed the room. He originally was booked into a ground level street facing room, and he was moved up to that second floor room overlooking the swimming pool. Now, at my website, we got a wide area photo of that whole area, and we compared it with the photograph, that famous photograph of Dr. King lying there shot and all the guys pointing their finger where the shot came from, which we've all been told they're pointing at the rooming house where James Earl Ray was. When we had the wide area view and we checked it out, we found out they weren't pointing anywhere near that rooming house. They were actually pointing to the roof of the building down the street from that. So that whole situation was an absolute fraud and fake as well. I have family that live on Martha's Vineyard and have been there for quite a long time. And they shared an interesting story with me about the night that Bobby Kennedy ran off the road with Mary Jo Kopechne in the back seat.
Teddy Kennedy.
Yes, you're right. And they saw him being chased by another car. And it sort of runs the idea that maybe there was an assassination attempt on the third brother, but after the accident and being able to use Mary Jo Kopechne to wreck his presidential ambitions, they figured that was enough, and they let him live.
I think that's very plausible. You know, character assassination can be enough. And, you know, I mean, we have a group called the Dead Kennedys, right? How many do we need? I mean, to make the point, it's unreal. The assassination of Bobby was clearly a CIA operation. In fact, a fellow who was a hypnotist has admitted hypnotizing Sirhan for the CIA. There were three agents who have been identified present there. George Joannides, who was in charge of PSYOPs, and where the CIA has kept his records from release even when requested by the Assassination Records Review Board, created by an act of Congress in the wake of the resurgence of interest generated by Oliver Stone's film JFK. They still haven't done it in defiance of the law. A fellow named Gordon Campbell and David Sanchez Morales, maybe the most noted assassin of them all, who were present in the Ambassador Hotel, have been identified by several persons. Shane O'Sullivan has discussed it in his film about Bobby's death. But it's obvious that Sirhan didn't do it. He was a distraction. He unloaded his weapon, which held like eight shots, but in front of Bobby, who was shot four times from behind. The fatal shot entered his ear, behind his right ear, from about an inch and a half. It couldn't possibly have done by Sirhan, but he did serve his role very well.
Well, there were 15 different bullet holes in the walls of that pantry. And, of course, the LAPD took it all and then basically threw it all away, saying they didn't have room to store it, to get rid of that evidence. And,
Mike, they said they didn't have room to store it in a 3x5 file card. File. I mean, it's absurd the way the LAPD handled this.
Oh, well, I'll give you one more. There was a young student photographer there who got pictures inside the pantry, and the police confiscated them and held him, wouldn't release him, and the kid grew up. He's now he works in the film industry now, blanking on his name. He sued the LAPD for the return of his negatives because they are obviously worth money, recording a historical event. The LAPD said they'd lost them. Then all of a sudden somebody up in Sacramento says, no, we have them here. And we'll be able to avoid this multi-million-dollar court settlement by returning the negatives to this kid. So they get a courier, put him on a plane. He flies to the Los Angeles International Airport. He's driving out of the airport, and his rental car suddenly gets a flat tire. He goes to a gas station to get the tire repaired, goes to the restroom, leaving the car completely unlocked and the briefcase with the pictures on the seat. So obviously when he gets back, the briefcase and the pictures are gone. Oh, gee, we really tried to get those pictures back to you.
Right, and you're absolutely right, Mike.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful. Get this. Thomas Noguchi, a world-famous medical examiner, did the autopsy on Bobby. He has a very thorough autopsy report showing the four hits on Bobby from behind, including the fatal shot. When it conflicted with the LAPD report, however, Noguchi was fired when it should have been the police department that was held at fault. I mean, the most basic evidence in a crime like this is the autopsy report, especially when it's done by a guy of the qualifications of Noguchi.
It was pretty obvious. I remember Daryl Gates was the police chief at the time, and of course when he retired he got all this funding for his drug avoidance resistance education, which is hugely expensive and completely ineffective. So it was corrupt. And of course today, in the aftermath of lies about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, the American people are far more skeptical and far less trusting of the official story. And I think that works to the advantage of the American people. In fact, we're seeing indications all over the place that the U.S. government is finally waking up and realizing the days when they could pull this kind of a hoax or tell this kind of a lie with impunity are very much gone, and they're not coming back anytime soon. We had Senator Chuck Schumer get up in Congress and literally say that Congress needs to pass a law changing the First Amendment so that the right to freedom of speech is only applicable to the controlled corporate media. And, of course, Congress can't change the First Amendment. That takes three-quarters of the states to ratify. But we're seeing the stuff. There was a journalist in the New York Times saying that ultimately the government should have the final say about publishing any government documents in the corporate media. So they're just trying to build this case that, really, you're just going to have to trust the government. We know what's best for you. And, of course, we know quite the contrary.
Yeah. One of the great virtues of James Norvell's book, by the way, Mike, I began to explain, is that he locates shooters at six different positions in Dealey Plaza. JFK was hit in the back about 5.5 inches below the collar to the right of the spinal column by a shot fired from the top of the county records building. He was hit in the throat by a shot that actually passed through the windshield fired from the south end of the triple underpass. He was hit, three shots fired from the Daltex. One hit him in the back of the head, another missed and hit the curb and injured the distant bystander. Standard James Tague, the third missed and hit a chrome strip above the presidential windshield. Shots were fired from the book depository at John Connolly in the mistaken belief that it was Ralph Yarborough whom Lyndon tried to get into the car and Connolly out. The shot that hit JFK in the right temple was fired by the north end of the triple underpass. A frangible exploding bullet set up shockwaves that blew his brains out the back of his already weakened cranium to the left rear with such force that when they impacted with motorcycle patrolman Bobby Hargis riding there, I initially thought he himself had been shot. The easiest shot was from the grassy knoll, but it was pulled. You know, the gunman realized he was going to hit Jackie. They were under strict instructions that she should not be harmed, so he pulled his shot and it wound up in the grass opposite the grassy knoll.
Yeah, and again, going back to the House Select Committee on Assassinations, they had a police dictapelt. Somebody had left their microphone keyed open and recorded the shots. I think there was something like 15 impulses on that tape, and citing budget restrictions, they only studied 6 or 7 of them. But those 6 or 7, again, they showed shots were originating all over Dealey Plaza, including the grassy knoll.
Yeah. I chaired a session down in Dallas by a fellow named Thomas, who's a leading expert on all of this, and confirmed with him what I believe to be the case. When they did their array of microphones, they were only testing from two locations, roughly the book depository and the grassy knoll. And I asked him, I said, were they set up in such a way as to discriminate between shots fired from the Daltex, for example, in the sixth floor? And he conceded, no, they were not. And in fact, I agree with you, there are indications of as many as 8, 9, or 10 shots on that dictapelt, but the HSCA seems to have been playing a role to redo the cover-up in a way that was, you know, more efficient than before. Let me give you an illustration. We had a Parkland physician after physician reporting this massive, you know, fist-sized blowout at the back of the head. Even Clint Hill, who rushed up to push Jackie back down, lay across their bodies and saw, and he described this fist-sized hole in the back of the head, at which point he gave a thumbs down to his colleagues. You know, we have about 40 reports about this fist-sized hole, including physician after physician at Parkland. At Bethesda, however, and this is going to dumbfound you, Mike, because it's not generally known, Commander James Humes, who was in charge of the autopsy, actually took a cranial saw and enlarged the wound, so it was virtually the whole back half of his head, in order to make it look more like something that could have been caused by a shot fired from the rear. Ironically, the mortician, Thomas Evan Robinson, was there and witnessed him doing this. So when the ARRB came to depose him and showed him a diagram with dotted lines here, he said, oh, no, the doctors did that, because he'd actually witnessed it, as did another a fellow named Ed Reed, who was a technician for Bethesda Hospital. But the HSC contracted that massive blowout. I mean, it's even described in the autopsy report itself, which I published in Assassination Science 1998, the first of my three collections of expert studies on this, Mike. They contracted
Jane, we got to take one more commercial break. We'll be back with the last segment of our show after these few words.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Obamacare stories are worse every day. Medical treatment in Thailand can offer Americans some genuine options at fractional prices of U.S. treatment. Nursing homes, elder care, fractions of U.S. prices, and such superior options. The money you save could easily purchase a condo or two. Go to AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com, a down and dirty guide on doing it once, doing it right, and on the cheap. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The United Voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with James Fetzer, and this is our last segment of the show. So before we run out of time, James, is there a website you would like our listeners to visit you at and read what you're writing about?
Everyone to know that the book, Treason, Treachery, and Deceit by James Norvell on the murderers of JFK, MLK, RFK, has been widely acclaimed and endorsed, including by military writers. Brigadier General John H. Grubbs, retired PhD, refers to it as a spellbinding masterpiece. Doug Horn, former chief analyst for military records for the Assassination Records Review Board, who discovered that increase in the size of the wound to the cranium done by James Humes, systems at Bethesda writes, Mr. Norvell does not pull any punches. It does not sugarcoat the assassination in any way. Marv McClellan, author of Blood, Money, Power, a former law partner of LBJ attorney Ed Clark, who was deeply involved in planning the assassination, praises Norvell, quote, for bringing us nearer to the solution of the most horrific crime in American history, for horrific for what it did to one man and his family, horrific for what it did to America, and horrific for the failure of the authorities to mete out justice. The book, by the way, Mike, can be obtained through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble eBooks, and Nook Books, among others.
Okay, and the title one more time for those people just getting their pencils?
The title is Treason, Treachery, and Deceit, The Murderers of JFK, MLK, and RFK.
Well, it certainly was a time where there was a lot of wet work going on, and how we prevent a repeat of that, of course, is with the American people more aware, more skeptical, more doubting of the official story. Back when John F. Kennedy was killed, we were still in the height of the Cold War. The government was keeping us afraid by wagging commies at us, and the American people just really didn't comprehend the possibility that the government could be lying to them about so many things. Today, it's very, very different. We're a sadder but wiser population.
Well, you're so right, Mike. I mean, they've been lying to us not only about JFK for 50 years now. I mean, it's completely outrageous, but about the events of 9/11, about the plane crash took the life of Senator Paul Wellstone, even about Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing. There's a mountain of evidence that those were fabricated events intended to convince the American people that their Americans owning guns were a threat to society. It's all fabricated. It's all outrageous, and we have a mountain of proof about it.
Well, you know, and again, it's business as usual for this government. We've talked a lot on our show about the Lusitania, the sinking of which got Americans all riled up to go to World War I, and it turned out it was carrying war material from the supposedly neutral U.S. to Britain. We know that now that there really were no torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin chasing the USS Maddox. There was no Spanish mine in Havana Harbor. The government habitually will use lies, fraud, and deception to trick Americans into doing what the government wants. And, of course, the one that's really obvious these days is they're still pushing human-caused global warming despite 7 record-setting winters in a row, because Obama is desperate for that carbon tax to cover the shortfall from the collapse of Obamacare. And it's just how they do it. And I just reprised a video to my website, that little video clip of Obama getting up there and having the nerve to say, you know, if you don't trust the government, we're going to have a problem. Well, we don't trust the government. And if the government has this major credibility crisis, they did it to themselves. It's not our fault for daring to question and refuse to believe. The government's destroyed its own credibility. 6% unemployment. We know the real jobless rate is closer to 60%. And on and on and on. I've lost count of all the government lies.
I know, Vince you're Foster. Absolutely right. In foreign policy as well as domestic. I mean, it was the rebels who used the chemical gas in Syria. It wasn't the Assad government. The Western powers pumped $5 billion into Ukraine to create unrest and then smuggled in Russian weapons so they could fire on their own people and blame it on the Russians. It goes on and on. I mean, Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction. Iran isn't even developing a nuclear bomb. Mike, our own intel agencies in 2007, all 16 converged in the conclusion Iran was not developing a nuclear weapon, which it reaffirmed in 2011. When's American foreign policy going to be based on the best intelligence of what actually is going on in the world?
Well, it's not. It's based on the need by the financial system to force the world back to Bretton Woods and the petrodollar, and that's the motive behind all of these wars. It's the reason we went into Iraq, because Saddam was selling Iraq's oil for the euro. Gaddafi wanted to sell Libya's oil for the gold dinar. Iran wants to sell Iran's oil for whatever currency they want. Today, the House of Representatives just slapped some new sanctions on Venezuela for daring to sell their oil for the yuan. And that's what this entire foreign policy is driven by, is maintaining the dollar's position as the global trade and reserve currency so that Wall Street and the Federal Reserve get their mafia-like piece of the action over global commerce.
You're absolutely right. It's when Gaddafi goes off of the petrodollar, introduces the gold dinar, when Saddam Hussein abandons the petrodollar, when Iran opens an oil bust and begins trading in multiple currencies, all those countries come into the sights of the United States and NATO. You're completely right about this, Mike. It's embarrassing, but it's true. The American people have to understand how much they're being manipulated by the government for the benefit of big business and the bankers.
It really is. Now, of course, right now, though, the good news is countries are dropping the dollar faster than the U.S. can invade them. There are now 80 nations aligned with the BRICS movement. If they were all to drop the dollar on the same day, the party would definitely be over.
I think that's going to happen, Mike. And, you know, I expect there to be a major defensive alliance between Russia, China, and Iran that is going to succeed, you know, the supremacy of the United States in world affairs. We're a dying empire. We have 700 bases all over the world. Obama himself launched 17 invasions into African countries alone. I mean, the situation is absurd. And anyone thinks that Obama stands for peace and justice or truth just doesn't understand what's going on.
Oh, that Nobel Peace Prize was such an insult to those who won it while deserving it. And at this point, I don't think anybody wants to get one again after Obama got. He hadn't even done anything except show up for his swearing in. And all of a sudden, oh, we've got to give him the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, they ought to take it back. If they had any shred of dignity and integrity, the Nobel Committee would demand the return of the prize.
I think you're right. It's like, I want my money back. I gave the guy $100 five different times when he was originally a candidate, Mike, and it wasn't the same $100. I want a refund.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, at this point, I think pretty much everybody realizes that all these politicians are liars. It's how they control and rule us, and they've been doing it for so long, they don't actually know how to run a country any other way. And that's why, you know, if at first you don't succeed, lie again seems to be the policy they're following. And every time they come out with another whopper, it's just one more nail in the credibility of this government. I personally think the system is tearing itself apart. We're just waiting for that final big crack that causes all the little cracks to join up and blow the top of the cabin off on this whole mess.
Well, let me just say on behalf of James Norvell, who died shortly after he spoke at a memorial service for Lee Oswald held on the 24th, of November last, how much he and his widow and all of us who support his work appreciate your featuring me to discuss his book. Again, Mike, for the benefit of the audience, Treason, Treachery, and Deceit, The Murderers of JFK, MLK, and RFK by James D. Norvell, N-O-R-V-E-L-L, may be ordered through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, eBooks, and Nook Books, among others.
Well, I can guarantee you I'm certainly going to be ordering my copy today.
Well, that's terrific, Mike, and I'm really grateful to you for featuring me to discuss it. It would have been great if James could be here, but, you know, he was a disabled vet. He was a magnificent human being, and his heart gave out on December 6th. Ironically, that just happens to be my own birthday.
Oh, boy, that's a heck of a thing to have to remember the calendar date by. And, you know, we do have things like that. My youngest brother passed away on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And these linkages just seem to happen there. All right, well, James, it's been a joy. I'm already getting email from people saying that you've been an absolutely great guest. And I think very obviously we're going to want to have you come back and talk about other issues on the show sometime in the future if you're available.
That would be terrific, Mike. I'd love to do it, and I greatly appreciate what you're doing. You're making a lot of contributions, important contributions, to inform the American public about what's really going on with this once great United States of America.
All right, well, thank you. We got to let you go. The music is playing. It's time for me to shut down the microphone and go get some errands done this afternoon. We will be back tomorrow, Friday, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, stay angry, stay skeptical, make good choices. Please share what you know with everyone you know. It is time for every American to stand up in anger and say, this has gone on long enough. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.